Let's go, 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 go.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Maybe he listens to me. He stays ready so he don't got to get ready.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
A quarterback draw and an easy touchdown for Trevor Lawrence.
When you say starting over with him, what do you mean by that, Doug Peterson?
I think just fundamentally, just starting over.
Earlier on the show, Saints safety Tyrann Mathieu, Lions general manager Brad Holmes, Rams head coach Sean McVay. Coming up from the new film Top Gun Maverick, actor John Hamm. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
I mean, this is why I love doing a show like this. We just hang up the phone with the Super Bowl winning head coach Sean McVay from the Los Angeles Rams. And then John Hamm's about to walk into our show studio. He is dynamite. Made for his role in Top Gun Maverick, starring Tom Cruise and our friend John Hamm, Miles Teller, Glenn Powell, Jennifer Connelly, and more. It's coming into a theater everywhere near you May 27th, and John's about to talk about it. And then after we say goodbye to John, I'm heading up the 405 to NFL Network to help release the schedule, whatever is left to release of it, by 8 o'clock Eastern time on NFL Network. And then I look across the way and I see my awesome, beautiful wife who's sitting in Brockman's seat for a third straight day. Suze, you and I got to do something like this. I do not take it for granted. Hello to kick off hour three.
I'm trying to remember the last movie we went to see just the two of us. Can you remember?
No. Actually, it might have been the first Star Wars that when they rebooted it with Disney, because you and I took Xander when he was 8 to see it during the day, and he was so scared S-less that he, like 45 minutes in, he turned to us and he said, maybe I'll see this again when I'm 11, and wanted to leave. He's now 13. You remember, we didn't want to waste the ticket, so you and I returned that night to see it.
Yeah, but I fell asleep in it, so I don't remember.
I don't know. It's been a while. But we had such a blast seeing it. It really was like 1986 all over again, and just spectacular. So much fun, and John Hamm's about to come out here and talk about it. DJ Mikey D, as in D's Nuts, sitting where he is, and TJ Jefferson sitting where he is as well. And before we get to John, though, let's chop up this story that is lighting up Twitter right now and lighting up the NBA Twitter world and the sports world. It's kind of a confluence of a couple things. First, Stephen A. Smith's remarkable influence in our industry about driving a conversation. He's been talking about LeBron potentially being traded away from the Lakers. He's got another year left on his deal, and there's a conversation to be had about an extension because he loves playing here. And, you know, I think he loves playing here. He just had one of the worst seasons of his career, and he said that, it was a blast. And so I think he likes living out here. And so everyone's talking about that as the Lakers are between a rock and a hard place, no coach, and a roster that appears to be unworkable based on the way they just played this year. And then there's the Los Angeles Times conversation that Bill Plaschke of the LA Times just had with Jeannie Buss the other day, where she's talking about the future and the direction of this franchise. And then Bill, who clearly would know what's going on, says that Phil Jackson, who in the conversation he had with Jeannie Buss, is in the mix of having Jeannie Buss's ear about what to do next, as does Rob Pelinka, the general manager, and Kurt Rambis, who's been with the organization for a very long time. His wife, Linda's part of the organization, who has Jeannie Buss's ear. And she says Magic Johnson is back in the mix after he said, I don't know if I want to be here anymore. a conversation you were in the media scrum, if you will, for that night in Staples Center.
Standing there as he walked over to the podium right outside of the locker room, and he took it and he just went on a diatribe, and those of us that have been around the team for a long time had never seen that side of Magic. He always is so composed. He choreographs everything, and he lost his mind.
He said he wasn't gonna be here. He quit his job before telling Jeannie Buss about it. But Magic's now back in the mix to talk to Jeannie about what to be done or what should be done. And Bill's Plaschke, according to his reporting, is that Phil Jackson is telling Jeannie, Buss, get rid of LeBron, but keep Russell Westbrook. Which I think, if I'm just informing a Laker fan of this right now, they just drove off the road. And everyone's wondering, what the hell is going on with the Lakers' decision-making process if it's just one big, huge melting pot and Jeannie says it's my final decision? But she's hearing from a ton of counties right now, to say the least. And I don't believe it. I don't think they're trading LeBron in a million years. They're not trading LeBron. I don't think they're doing it, period, end of story. I think there's no chance they do it. And the reason why I think there's no chance they're doing it, and you may say that this is kind of crazy and that sort of thing. Uh-oh. Is that Jeannie calling me right
now? That's breaking news right now, guys.
That sounds like Susie's computer.
Wouldn't
she's getting a phone call right now. But, you know, to me, it sounds like, to me, they're never going to do it, and you might think I'm crazy about it, but it's because LeBron's going to break Kareem's scoring record. And they're not going to have LeBron do it in somebody else's uniform.
But they want to win.
And Jeannie Buss said, this is the quote that I don't know many people paying attention to it at the end of the story that I'm referring to, that Bill Plaschke interviewed her, said about LeBron, I want him to feel confident in the team that we have the pieces to win a championship. He has to be happy. I want to make sure that he's happy. And if what makes him happy, staying put, he's going to stay here and break Kareem's scoring record in a Laker uniform.
I don't know. I feel like this is all about control, as it always is with the Lakers. And one thing about Jeannie that I know is she hates it when the narrative continues that she's out of control with this team, that Linda Rambis is really calling the shots with player relations. She says in this article with Plaschke that clearly she's not. She talks about how Kurt's been around forever. But if you look behind the scenes and you start to look in the DNA, and I was texting with one of the Lakers from the three-peat earlier, This smells like a big move. Several things that they hate. They hate the deflection of attention with winning time right now. They hate that they're not controlling the narrative. They're looking for a new head coach. So if LeBron's coming into his 20th year, Phil's talking in her ear. Don't forget, Phil likes players that listen. He can't stand it. We saw that with Michael. We saw that with the Shaq and Kobe. Phil likes players that are willing to mold to a system. And as they look to build with a new head coach, could it be possible that this is her move of being Khaleesi, that she becomes the mother of dragons again and shows that this is the legacy that she wants to build
for this
team?
By trading away LeBron?
Could be. She likes big, splashy things the same way Dr. Buss did.
Well, you know, Kobe told her to be Khaleesi. That's what he told her. As a matter of fact, I asked him that, Kobe. When I interviewed him, I think it was that 3 years ago on 824, 2018. Wow, gosh, damn it. 4 years ago this summer, the late Kobe Bryant. I asked him that about that piece of advice for Jeannie Buss. Let's roll that back.
I had Jeannie Buss on my show last week. She'd said that you sent her a text when LeBron came to the Lakers of her as the mother of dragons. You sent her a Khaleesi photograph to her phone.
I did.
What was your intention on
that? I sent her a gif of Khaleesi riding in on 1,000 ships behind her with Tyrion next to her and everybody right next to her. So I said, this is what you are. I mean, when I spoke to her about making her decision, I told her, I said, at some point, Jeannie, you have to become Khaleesi. You got to be the mother of dragons.
The decision
you gotta claim.
With her family?
Yeah, you got to claim what is rightfully yours and go for it, man. So I felt like that was appropriate to send her that gift.
That was when there was a battle amongst her family about control of the Lakers, which she eventually did win. You're saying she just needs to go Khaleesi on the roster. And I don't know why LeBron would be, the Iron Throne to be destroyed. I don't know why, how that could be what needs to be torched down. And that's what Phil thinks she should do.
Is it her team or is it LeBron's team?
Yeah.
That's all I would throw out.
Or is it the Rambis' team? Or is it like, I don't know if she needs to like totally breathe fire to make sure that happens. Or, and I think she, just like Dr. Buss wanted Magic, she wants her all-time great when that all-time great breaks the Lakers' all-time great scoring records record. You know, and LeBron's just 1,326 points off of Kareem's record. Last year, when he played just 56 games, he had 1,700 points almost. He's going to break
it this year.
The only time he's not had 1,500 points in a season was the year before, the awful 2020 to 21 season. We played just 45 games, just 1,100 points. He's going to break it. He's going to break it next season. They're not trading him. There's no way. And how is that the way out? Like, what are we talking about? The way out is to have Westbrook run it? You're gonna sell that to the Laker fan base? Really? I don't know. Yeah, we're going to follow. And by the way, let's just, and I say this with the ultimate respect for somebody who's got 11 rings. Knick fans did not appreciate his roster building process. At all. At all. So, I'm just calling it as I see it. But you're saying there are some people that you're texting with that think she should just breathe fire and blow it down and make sure that she's the last bus standing.
100%.
And that she's running the team.
Yeah, 100%. Big time Lakers.
And I don't know why that means LeBron's got to go. When it's the Westbrook contract that is holding so many things up. And the information people that we speak to, they can trade Westbrook's contract to somebody that can get them out from under it and maybe bring a couple players back, one or two players back. You put it on the credit card and maybe it costs you down the line. But I don't know. Winning with LeBron right now and Anthony Davis, and I understand she's got to tell Clutch Sports, this is my team, it's not your plaything. But there's a big, huge moment to have for the Lakers, and they value that just as much as what everything else you're saying.
Whatever it is, it's not working. I mean, Anthony Davis barely played.
Street clothes, right, as Barkley calls him. You'll take LeBron in the Clipper uniform, right, TJ?
Oh, most definitely. Okay, look, here's the deal. He won't have to switch houses. He won't have to change his route to work.
Kids, you know, can stay in the same school.
Kids get to stay. That's the most important thing, right? Kids get to stay in the same school. Very it's nice. A perfect situation.
Yeah. All right, we will take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. John Hamm, everybody, is going to come out here in studio. Let's talk to our buddy from Top Gun Maverick. Oh, my gosh, you're going to love this movie. This will be a fun chat with John when he comes out in a moment. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Back here on our terrestrial radio show, joining us here on Peacock Sirius XM, John Hamm of Top Gun Maverick. We just saw a clip, and that was what I was going to ask you, because we just discussed about how
I felt so nostalgic. 1986 and seeing Top Gun and seeing Top Gun at the time and, you know, 36 years later, picking up the story where he left off. And it's nostalgic for people, you know, of our age and certainly for everyone else who's seen the original Top Gun and how it's kind of an out-of-body experience. And what was it like to be in it, though, John? What was it like for it you was, to
well,
be
again,
in
we're
Top
again, we're talking, we shot this thing in 2018, 2019.
Okay.
So totally pre-pandemic era, normal, back in the normal times right. when we knew how to behave. And now here we are in this kind of quasi times, and we had to wait for some time. So it was an amazing experience shooting it. It was, you know, we're on North Island Naval Base in Coronado, California. Actual, you know, aircraft on an actual aircraft carrier, the USS Theodore Roosevelt, America's big stick. It was amazing. You know, the cooperation that we had from the entire, you know, US Navy was amazing. We're using real F-18 Super Hornets. We're on the real USS Theodore Roosevelt with all the sailors, and everything that you see in there is real, including the flying sequences, which, as you know, are jaw-dropping.
Yes.
So it was an amazing experience, and then we had to sit on it for 2 years. We couldn't talk about it, and we couldn't show anybody anything. And there, you know, I mean, like trailers would drop. People are like, "I can't wait to see this movie," and I couldn't wait to see the movie. And like when we saw it back in 86, you know, the first thing I thought as soon as that movie was over was, I want to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
When you went to the movie theater to go see movies, I had to mow lawns to go see the movies back then. And it was like $3 a ticket. You know, it wasn't like in St. Louis, it was breaking the bank to go see a movie, but it was still a thing. And you said it earlier, it's like, this is a movie that you want to go see at the movie theater.
Yes.
And you want to see it with people, and you want to hear people and, like, you know, get thrown back in your seat and all of that stuff, and it all happens. I sound like a total, like, fanboy right now, but it's legit.
Well, we were the same way. Susie and I saw it yesterday, and we left, and there's a couple times that we're sitting there, and I clapped.
He clapped out loud.
It's like the Geico commercial. Like, no one's here that made the movie. No, you can't. No one can hear you clapping, but you just have to do it because you're like, that was so fun. That was fun.
Also, the sound was so sick.
Yeah,
that
it was
we went
sick.
Flying back in our seats at one point.
Yeah, it blows your hair back for sure. There's I don't know if anybody has this in their hometown or whatnot, but there's an experience called 4DX that the movie was shot for.
Yes.
Which we got to see in Mexico City last week, but there's these two side panels that go kind of the length of the theater on the side that kick in during the flying sequences. So you're literally, and the chair moves, and there's like all of these like effects that happen. It's like sensor round, but way better.
Right.
So if you have a chance to see it in 4DX, take that and bring a helmet.
And then it's everything else about it, some of the old footage from the previous film. And then
it does this crazy thing. And you talked about it. It's like, is it okay to call it a sequel 36 years later? And it's like, yes. But it's also, it's like, it's more than a sequel. It's like chapter two.
Yes.
And it has this amazing balance of nostalgia for the original, which we, you know, totally vibe with.
And want. Right.
And also a continuation of the story, the actual continuation. It doesn't pick up the day after the events of Top Gun concluded.
Yes.
It picks up 36 years later, and Maverick's older, and Iceman's older, and everybody's older, and we're older.
Yes.
The audience is older. So I think that's the weird, that's how it's vibing and resonating with people our age, and why people are getting like emotional watching this movie.
Yes.
Because it means a lot. It's really true.
Well, Tom Cruise is not older, though.
No, right? Tom Cruise is the same. The weirdly enough, like somehow I passed him. I don't know how that happened. I really don't. I passed him. I'm hard, in the fast lane.
Because he's flying some of these scenes, right?
Yeah. First of all, everybody is in an actual jet.
Right.
Like they're not, no one's in a chair with a green screen behind him with a gimbal. No one's doing that. They are in, you talk to Glennon and Miles, they were legit passing out, puking, all of the feels that they were going through in the back of those jets were real. They, you know, they're not in charge of the stick because it's an $85 million aircraft owned by the U.S. taxpayers. And they tend to like not allow you to actually, you know, drive it.
That's the danger zone.
That is part of the danger zone.
Right.
You get a big bill from the Navy at the end of that. But no, it's real. And you see it. That's what's so cool about it is that you there's a couple shots. I won't ruin them. I'll let people see them on their own. But we legitimately see the forces of gravity on everybody's faces, pushing them back in their seats. You can hear them trying to like push the blood back up into their head so they don't pass out.
Right.
It's amazing.
Did you happen to be, because I know you don't share any scenes, did you happen to be on the set anytime when Ed Harris was there too? Because that guy's just badass.
I wasn't. My experience with Ed Harris is I played softball with him once.
Okay. Now
so
I need,
it's not
now
quite the danger zone.
It's a strike zone?
It's a strike zone-ish.
Right.
I used to play in the softball game in Pan Pacific Park here in L.A. for 20-some-odd years. And we'd have these, Sandler would come by sometimes, Jake Gyllenhaal. It was catch as catch can as to who would show up. But Ed Harris showed up one day.
And?
And got a solid base hit.
Okay.
Tried to take an extra base. We let him take it. I was like, it's a national treasure. Let the man take an extra base. No hard snap tags. Nobody needs to prove anything.
Right.
Let the man have an extra base.
Okay.
He's intense.
Okay. Who's the best softball player?
Me.
Okay. So what? I mean, you have some pop on your bat.
A little. I don't hit for power. I put the ball in play. I move everybody over. It's a team game.
You're fundamentally sound, John.
I'm fundamentally sound. I play shortstop. I make sure everybody
defense.
Yes, and softball. I absolutely play shortstop. The arm, I can't play shortstop in baseball. I can't make that throw.
Did you flip into the position similar to Ozzy from back in the day? Did you ever do any of those?
I did a very slow somersault. just to get my jersey dirty.
A slow somersault into the position. As an homage.
Yes,
to the great Ozzy Smith. The great wizard. Did you grow up in Busch? Did you grow up going to those games?
Yeah, Busch Stadium. I remember I might have been there, but I don't think I was. This might be apocryphal. When Mike Laga.
Oh, my God.
The only man to hit a ball out of Busch Stadium. I think it was a foul, but he still hit it out of the stadium, which is a feat.
By the way, it's also a feat to
remember the name Mike Laga.
Yes, that's incredible. My God. That is unbelievable.
I have a lot of weird Cardinals facts. I think Fernando Tatí was first get a hit of... The original Fernando Tatis.
Yes.
Four home runs in a game.
Okay.
I could be making this up. I have these weird things stuck in my head. You know this as you've grown old, and you must have a million of these, but mm-hmm. the things that you have, that your brain has room for.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That you wonder, how did that stick? Mike Laga. Why is that forever going to be stuck in my head?
I would hope that you'd remember the name of somebody you watched hit a ball out of Busch Stadium.
I guess so. Maybe I was there.
That would possibly stick on you. Or,
maybe I was there. I can remember, I have a ton of Busch Stadium memories, but I can remember the first World Series game I went to in 1982. Mm-hmm. And it was game one, and we got smoked. And it was like, I guess I'll never go see another World Series game. This is going to be a drag. And it was against the Milwaukee Brewers.
Of course.
And Ted Simmons was a starting catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, who was...
Former Cardinal, right?
Former Cardinal.
Yeah, yeah.
And soon to be the father of my best friend. I had not started going to John Burroughs School yet, where I met Ted's son, John.
Okay.
Who became my best friend. And cut to the end of that, Ted was just inaugurated into the Hall of Fame, had to wait a year because of COVID. And name checked me in his speech.
That's so cool. I mean, honestly,
when
you go
things
back,
come full circle like that, go, all right, okay, universe, thanks.
It's great. I mean, that's the greatest thing of all time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, our daughter's middle name is Mattingly for Don, and
not for Jerry. Jerry Mattingly, my high school gym coach.
Yes, because he was so kind to me when I got picked last.
He was a lovely man. He never maybe get hit in the face with dodgeball.
Don and Susie and I were there because I threw out that first pitch that one time, just downright frightened down to my socks.
At Yankee Stadium? Pitch.
No, at Dodger Stadium.
Okay,
at Dodger Stadium when he was the manager.
Okay.
And I think you were pregnant with Taylor at the time, right?
I was. Right? Is that the game where I told him that every single password that you have?
Oh, careful. Yes.
And then Don backed away from him like, oh. Yeah. Okay, psycho.
Certainly since we told him that.
You've changed the passwords.
Yes.
They are expensive.
No. But we told him that we named our daughter after his middle name after him. And he kind of looked at me a little like he's heard this one before. And then I realized later on it might be because we asked what the first name was. And we told him it was Taylor. And that's the name of his son. So It was with like Taylor Mattingly.
Okay.
I think that whole thing, yes.
We're done, right? We're done.
Nice to meet you,
Rich. Nice to meet you guys. Yeah, I gotta go manage.
That's pretty much what happened.
I gotta go.
I gotta go.
Yeah, John Hamm here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, in honor of your being here for this film,
okay,
John, have you seen the website whatsmycallsign.com?
No.
Okay. It is.
Is this affiliated with the movie?
It is, in fact, affiliated with Top Gun Maverick, where you can take a photograph.
And they ask you questions,
and they assign you with your call sign. And so we did it for us here on the program.
Okay.
And then we did some for you, John.
Okay.
So first, let's get to ours. Let's get to ours first here on the program, so you could see T.J. Jefferson. You're going to be up first right here. T.J., we had him do his call sign. Put in his information in his photograph, and TJ, we have his call sign up there. He's Wildfire.
Wildfire.
Oh, that's a good one.
The helmet. I like the helmet.
They put the helmet on you. This
like
Wildfire.
Tommy Wildfire Rich. Okay. Back in the day, the wrestler.
That's a good one.
Michael like Mike Delph Tufo. He is our audio executive, as he likes to be known. He came up with which one? There you go.
Deuce.
Your Deuce.
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 Solid.
That's cute.
Yes.
Solid. Again, another solid helmet.
There you go. Yeah. Exactly. And let's. Okay, I just hope we did drop that one, but very good.
No, I would do that okay. if I went in a jet, I probably would.
Okay, Suze even did one. She even allowed herself to be captured with a helmet on.
Female aviator,
Stinger.
Nice.
Yeah. Stinger.
The Stinger.
Okay. I like it.
We got to make that. We got to make that stick.
And
don't you think?
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, here's mine. Here's mine. I put in my photograph and all the pertinent information. This is fantastic.
This is very suspenseful.
I love it. Here we go. Put it up. I'm Hot Shot.
Hot Shot.
That face.
I'm solid. Hot Shot.
First B-minus helmet.
I didn't choose the helmet. I guess you can.
So even Stinger was good. It had the little stingers on it. Like
Hot like
Shot
was
purple.
Pilot.
I don't get it.
Hot Shot.
I like it.
I don't know. Okay, here we go.
Not sure that's going to stick.
Okay, so we did one for you,
okay,
John. John Hamm.
I have a feeling this might be a
call sign. It is not. You're Sarge. I don't know why.
All right, we got to find what Instagram filter is that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Way better picture. Sarge.
Sarge.
Is actually in the movie as Cyclone. It's way better.
I know that. So we could stick with the one that's in your film. Okay. Admiral Bo Cyclone Simpson.
Oh,
there you are.
Look at that.
Your Cyclone. That's much better.
Looking right for Mav. Where is he?
Okay. So now here's some fun ones here for you, John Hamm, as well. What would be, we figured, your call sign for Ted from Bridesmaids? What would be his call sign?
Douchebag. For sure. And I'd love to see that helmet.
Here we go. Here we go. Here it is. There it is. Professor. Professor. We thought that's a good photograph of Ted from Bridesmaids. Okay. This one I think you're going to like a lot. Buddy from Baby Driver.
All right.
You're fantastic in this film, which is a fantastic film. Here we go.
Kill shot.
Buddy. Throttle.
Throttle.
Ooh, what
tracks.
Do you think?
That tracks.
It tracks.
I like it. I like it.
As does this one. This is, you know where we're going with this one.
For sure.
What would be Don Draper's call sign?
Highball.
Here we go. That would be great. Highball would be great. Instead, this is, believe it or not, Stallion.
Solid.
Why not?
Also, I would love to. There would be an amazing thing of just smoking a cigarette in a jet at Mach 3. You know what I mean? And then somehow opening the window to throw it out.
I want to know if you kept the glasses. Those glasses.
Those
are
highball
so
glasses.
Key. No, the glasses. You know, the glasses from.
The sunglasses
from Top Gun. You gotta keep
I did not.
Those.
No? I did not get to keep those, but we got some awesome. Obviously, Ray-Ban and Top Gun go way back, and we got some pretty awesome.
Oh my gosh!
Gifts from the good people at Audica or whatever, whoever owns Ray-Ban now.
Now, what about the highball glasses from...
Glasses from Mad Men. I think Matt Weiner has the little barker.
Did you keep anything from that?
Selfish.
Do you have anything from
that? I have Don's chair from the apartment that was a very cool... It's in my bedroom. It's like a good... It's like an Eames chair, but it's not an Eames chair. It's actually like from like the designer from the 60s, so it's very cool.
We had Jared Harris on saying that those cigarettes were impossible to actually smoke.
They were gross. I mean, I think somebody did the math, and I smoked like 75 cigarettes in the pilot. So just do the math. There were 93 other episodes of that show. I was like, ooh, that was rough.
Because he said that they're not the real thing.
They're not the real thing. They're harsh. It's like sucking on a, you know, a tube of you know, leaves on fire. And it's, yeah.
So when you were giving somebody a look of derision while smoking a cigarette, that... That's not just you acting. That's no, you actually trying
just
to
in pain
and take all of that.
Yeah, yeah, it worked,
dude. By the way, yes, it did work. It worked. Yes, it did work. Is there anything else like you'd want to be part of a remake? Anything?
Oh
that you,
man, well, I'm actually a part of kind of a remake, a reboot. We're right. Last summer in Boston, we finished principal photography. Actually, we finished it in Rome, but we shot the majority of it.
Oh,
Confess Fletch,
dude.
The next chapter in the saga of Irwin M. Fletcher.
That's
you choose.
Right.
So yeah, it's a we rebooted it. It's not a remake. We're not trying to do the Chevy Chase impression.
You could say though that Chevy Chase, because I've read the Fletch books.
Yes,
that's not the Fletch books. Those are not the Chevy Chase.
The Chevy version is very Chevy heavy,
yes,
as we might say, and we love it. It's fantastic, but we have that version in the can. That's great, and it lives where it deserves to live.
Right.
And I think when you saw the Fletch Lives, the kind of sequel to that version of Fletch too, you're kind of like, that doesn't quite hold up as well.
Right.
So myself and Greg Mottola and the good people at Miramax and Paramount, and we decided we were going to try to give it a new life for the 21st century.
So you're going to hear it closer to the books?
Very much so. We started with Confess Fletch. All the books, as you know, if you read them, or as anybody out there that's read them, they're great stories.
Yes.
Like, they're great whodunits, and they all take place in a different part of the world, and Fletch kind of shows up, and he's an interloper, and he does all this great stuff, and
right.
he's funny, and it's less about the wigs and the teeth and the funny voices, and it's more about him kind of being sardonic and iconoclastic and a goofball, and it's so much fun to do, and I got to bring John Slattery into the world.
Get out of here.
He plays Frank, the editor, Fletch's old editor, and we have great scenes together. And we got to do a little globetrotting. We shot in Rome and in Boston, and hopefully we're going to do another one. And it will take place somewhere in the American Southwest, we think, and continue the story. There's 10 books.
Yeah.
So if I could finish up, you know, the next decade of my life making those, I'd be a happy guy.
No kidding. Because I remember.
Come me in one.
I got to be John. I'm telling you, man.
I'm a producer. I can say that.
I would.
He will do it.
I'm all the way in. Whatever. Obviously, anything you do, you have me at hello. But
we're rebooting Jerry Maguire.
That'd be great. So, as a matter of fact, I just read you my lines to try and audition. But I remember I saw the Fletch movies, and then I said I loved it. I'm going to go read the books. And then I started reading the books. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
When is he putting something on the underhills? Right. Like, why aren't they punching the wall? Like, you hate Tommy Lasorda. Where is that? It's so not that at all.
Yeah, I did the same thing. And I was, you know, it's nice that there's two different versions of it, I think.
Right.
And I was.
Sure. Yeah.
I was so enthralled at the. That was the first kind of. I didn't know books came in series.
Yes.
Like that. I was like, wait, there's more than
outside of the Hardy Boys, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like outside of like Scholastic readers, you know. But I was like, well, there's 10 of these? I'll have to steal all of them because I didn't have any money. And I did. Sorry, Walden Books in Florissant, Missouri.
Walden Books, everybody. It's like that old Seinfeld episode. They're gonna send the police after you about the book.
The library cop.
Right.
If Walden Books was still in business, I would write them a check for $47. But they're not.
Oh yeah,
I remember those. Amazon.
Well, that'd be cool. When do we see? Them?
Hopefully by the end of the year.
Okay,
it's, Paramount has it. We're not sure what the release thing. If it's going to be in theaters or on a platform or some combination. It's all being worked out, but it will see the light of day, and hopefully we'll start making a new one next year.
Fantastic. Seeing you and Slattery in a scene together.
Man, it's so funny. We had such a good time. It was like, it's like slipping on a old jacket. It was very, very fun to be in a scene with him again. And then I went off and last fall made a movie that he directed starring me and Tina Fey. So it's fun, man. He's a good pal.
John Hamm, you are as well. Top Gun Maverick. Everyone should go see it. It is just fantastic.
Thanks,
thing.
Rich.
Soup to nuts, man.
Thanks, Paul.
And so you're going to go traveling to go promote this
Yeah,
thing,
tomorrow
huh?
I head off to London, mm-hmm. where we do a bunch of press. Then we go to Cannes for the big festival, which I've never Trey done. Dan.
Okay. So you got your tux all picked out.
Got the tux going.
Okay.
It's like a tux for a movie is very cool. I've not done that.
That is going to be
cool. Walk up the steps, turn around. Pose for the thing.
Yeah, just give a wave.
Give a wave.
Yeah.
They're honoring Tom for his career at Cannes, which will also be a very fun thing to be a part of. And then we go back to London for a royal premiere, which I've also never done. Another black tie thing okay. where I think some royal people.
Oh, my gosh.
Daryl Royal, I think, will be there. I think it's only people with the last
George
name
Brett
Royal.
George Brett will be there, right? George Brett will show up.
Kansas City Royals?
Kansas City Royals will all be there.
Okay, very good.
Okay. Yeah, so.
Crown?
Crown, yeah. The yeah. only serve Crown Royal?
It's pretty much, I don't know. You tell me. You'll
I don't know. Yeah, it's all new to me, so we'll see.
Have to fill in on that.
But yeah, I don't know. I think by the end of it, if I get to high five the Queen, that's it.
You should. You should.
Up top. Elizabeth Regina 2, up top.
That's it. That's you have to go.
And then freeze frame?
That's right.
Me and the Queen? Fade to black. So like she has a little jump.
I look forward to all of that. Well, we should find out what's the Queen's call sign. What do you think?
Oh.
Majesty? It's got to be.
That's pretty tight.
What do you think?
Majesty.
Majesty?
Kind of has to be one or two syllables,
it's
though.
That's too much? Well, Maverick is multiple polysyllabic.
Maverick?
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Majesty?
Good to see you, brother.
Buddy.
Always.
Good to be here as ever. Absolutely. Exciting times.
It is.
Schedule release day.
Yes, sir.
I love how there's making up things now.
It's not,
no
it's
one
not
says making, that ever. Oh, yeah, it's schedule release day. Come on.
Yeah, people are celebrating paperwork.
That's what they're doing. Ooh, a new spreadsheet.
It's what it is. It is what it is.
And I'm weirdly excited about it.
That's it. You get to see, you know, the Cardinals, right? That's your team? Or
ish. You know, I've morphed into just a fan of the NFL at this point.
Okay.
I'm excited for the new stars to be anointed. I'm excited for the old guard to see if they... I'm excited for Russell in Denver.
Yes.
I'm excited for the new season.
Okay.
Like a red-blooded Midwestern American man.
Yeah, of course
I can't
you
wait
be.
For it to be.
As you should be.
And to that end, I cannot wait to watch a little hockey tonight. Playoff hockey. St. Louis Blues, Minnesota Wild. At the Enterprise Center in St. Louis, let's go Blues, game 6.
Yes, sir.
Blues up 3-2.
Yes.
At home to
okay.
close it out.
Very good. What else? Maybe we should shout out to the Cards.
How about the Cardinals?
Okay.
They're holding their own. Yepez? By the way, Yepez, how is his nickname not the dispenser?
It's a great name.
It's got to be.
That's his call sign.
The Yepez dispenser. He dispenses hits and...
And joy.
And bases and joy.
And smiles.
And smiles.
Yes.
And love and wins.
And W's for your St. Louis Cardinals. And Joe Buck's now the voice of Monday Night Football.
How about that? That was inevitable.
You know what? It's just crazy. It's just like the NFL where anybody could go anywhere. Now it's now broadcast.
I think it's, yeah. And I think here we are. It's like, I'm happy for that. I'm thrilled for him.
Yes.
But I'm also like... It's great that it's not on like one thing, and you know, it's pick your poison, go find it, and tune in and and let the games begin.
That said, I'll be dispensing the schedule to an unsuspecting viewing public tonight on NFL Network. And well, yeah, they are expecting it. You're right. And Top Gun Maverick in theaters everywhere, May 27th. The great John Hamm, thanks for coming in, brother.
Thank you, Richard.
Be well. Travel safe. We'll see
I
you
shall.
Soon.
I'll see
John
you
Hamm here on the Rich Eisen Show. We are back with more in a moment.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on our terrestrial radio show with our simulcast now complete. One big happy family. Just fun with John Hamm right there. Just fun. Diehard sports fan and so much. Like, I love that one. You know, he's about to ready to leave. Like, how about the Blues? How about the Cardinals? You know. Did you ever read the Fletch books? Or you never
I
did?
Never. You know, I'm a big fan of the movies, but I never thought about reading the books until today. Like, now you've got me wanting to go read
and
them.
They're very, very good. They're very, very fun.
And you're saying it's nothing like the movie?
No.
Okay, that's interesting.
No, they're more like Harlan Coben novels.
Wow.
Than the movie, you know. Okay.
Livingston's Own.
So,
Jersey.
Who, Harlan Coben? Yeah, big Jersey guy.
Came from my hometown.
I know. So, go figure. I watched the Fletch movies.
The
I'm like,
Fletch.
Let me read.
The first
give
Fletch
you an idea
fantastic.
Of my social life back in the day.
Put that on the under.
Seriously, the fact that I have children with that woman over there is a miracle.
Yeah, well, I think half of America's thinking that in the last couple of days.
Oh, my God.
TJ. All right, where's the ice
cream? I still want to talk more. Oh, where's the ice cream?
It's still in the freezer.
Go get it, please.
I mean, okay.
Come on.
Well,
I got all that ice cream.
Right now, you can see TJ's going to leave the set to go get ice cream.
Well,
we can eat it after when the show's over.
Maybe Adam could bring it out, or Liz.
Okay, yeah, go sit down there, TJ.
Maybe don't let me
do we
call
have to
the
eat
shot.
Ice cream on? I don't need to get brain freeze on live television and radio.
I want to show everybody what we brought,
okay.
And then people can chime in.
Okay,
Adam. Maybe it's a poll question of the day.
Okay, what's your favorite ice cream? What did you get?
I got...
Again, this is because, just to set up,
yeah.
We had Doug Peterson on yesterday. He serves ice cream to the team on the Saturday night before games, which is a fun way, yet potentially a poor caloric intake night before a game, but they're all, I think, ready to go.
There's like so many, Adam. There's like 20. There's a bag. Will you bring them all out, please? Thank you, Adam.
You could leave that one here, Adam. You don't have to take that one back.
And the reason why this came up was that Doug Peterson said that he likes vanilla.
Right.
And I said that is a total waste of real estate if you're not going to have stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a waste of ice cream real estate, I think.
Here's the Rocky
Road.
I'd
rather have stuff in it.
Here's the Rocky Road.
And this is Tillamook, even though I tried to get you Dreyer's, because apparently Dreyer is the one that came up.
With the Rocky
TJ,
Road.
TJ, you yeah. said with Rocky Road, which I thought was because there was stuff in it, but it was the Depression, correct?
Yeah, it didn't matter which kind of Rocky Road. I just, you know, I like Rocky
Road.
Okay.
All right. What else did you get?
I got a chocolate peanut butter situation from Mike Hoskins.
Okay.
And I think that one is McConnell's.
Okay.
Hoskins says thanks.
Hoskins says thanks. I got vanilla chip from Haagen-Dazs and chocolate chip.
Oh, fantastic.
And cookie dough.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Rich.
Is that what you were doing last night?
And vanilla bean.
You got six different types of
maybe
ice
seven.
Creams? One other thing about Susie that everyone can learn.
There's no half-stepping with Susie.
There's never. She gets all this. And what infuriates is the proper word. All of her friends who adore her, okay, is that she gets it for everybody and then hardly has any herself.
Well, that's not true. That is not true.
Come on, bring him over, Adam. Go ahead.
Because thank you, Adam. Adam's going to help me. He's going to be my Vanna White, right?
Okay, very good. Yes, nice.
So
Adam's a hand model. Okay, you got hand model.
All right, peanut butter.
This is from Mike Hoskins. Peanut butter chocolate crunch.
Okay, right.
Who likes coffee?
That was Del Tufo.
Or as my sister-in-law would say, coffee.
Coffee.
Okay,
coffee.
Right.
Coffee.
Okay. Thank you,
which I love.
Mm-hmm.
Double Belgian chocolate chip, which is, you can't, so what you have to do is you have to put in vanilla chocolate chip and cut it with a chocolate chip.
Well, I mean,
by the way,
don't ever go single Belgian on your ice cream.
And then this is for my husband,
Gotta go to
Rich.
What is that one?
That's
the chocolate chip cookie dough.
Chocolate chip cookie dough.
Chocolate chip cookie dough, which is not the juice bar in Nantucket, but it is the second best.
Very good.
Here we go.
All right. This is the way we're finishing up Suze's stay, because I do believe Brockman returns to the program tomorrow. Mooch will be here in person because what am I going to just eat with my hands? I can't do that.
I mean, what do we?
I mean, I'm not animal, right?
Exactly.
I'm not an animal.
Well, I did bring a giant fork.
I'm not an animal. I'm not an animal. Mooch is going to be here tomorrow because he's with me tonight for the schedule release show.
Do I have to send lasagna then? I mean,
no, Mooch is, I think he's going to come here and he's going to the airport as well. Brett Veach, the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, will be on tomorrow. And everybody should watch the NFL Network schedule release show tonight at 8 Eastern time. I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, television partners are now officially done with releasing any part of their schedule anymore. It's not going to be left up to us. Although you're telling me people are leaking it left and right?
People are leaking them left and right. People are.
I got to tell you, we work so damn hard. There's so many people. There's so many people at NFL Network that have been literally been pounding the pavement on this for weeks.
It's like, I don't.
And, you know, I'm just going to surf in, you know, and interview people. Thank you, sir. And you know, I just remember, though, years ago, Francesa, the Giants would always sneak Francesa their schedule.
Yes, and he'd post it.
Always, and he would talk about it. We'd be walking around in Los Angeles going, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, he was the first one to really leak it.
All right, so everybody's digging in. Are you digging in, Suze?
I'm going in.
Okay,
I loved that movie. Can we just say it again?
What, Top Gun?
I loved it.
It was great. Oh my God!
So you know, Rich, I know that after the show, you're going to go do your schedule release show.
And thank you, Jaguars, for having Doug Peterson on this program to lead to this moment. Yeah.
And I also, so I realized that's the reason God. I saw multiple eyes and cars in the parking structure. It's because you have something to do later. Not that you didn't want to ride to work with Susie again, I saw two cars today, Mike. I wasn't sure what the deal was,
and they parked. Very efficiently.
it was a very efficient parking.
Here, Mikey, just coffee?
Yeah, just coffee.
TJ, I know at thank some you, point on my long and happy life that I'm having with Susie, because happy wife equals happy
that's
life.
That's what they say, yes.
Calais Campbell pointed out yesterday, his wife is into living in Baltimore. That helps with him wanting to continue to play football in Baltimore.
Yes.
I know at some point I'm going to have to get back in that shotgun chair. And now that I've seen Top Gun, I understand how to assume crash positions.
Just have a puke bag.
And fight the urge to pass out. Rich, stay alive.
Rich, I know this has nothing to do with me. I just want to make a suggestion. Mm-hmm. It's been so great having Susie all week. Everyone on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube love it. Friday, I know Brockman's back, but that guest chair is going to be there and Mooch is coming in. And I kind of feel like maybe we should just finish the week with Susie, because my grab bag, I would like for her to be here for my grab bag tomorrow. So it's up to you guys. I'm just saying, I think the people would like to see it.
All right.
Do you guys want me to come back?
I mean, it's a street.
Don't answer that.
Are you driving?
The boss didn't speak.
Are you driving? Of course. All right. So everybody enjoy tonight's schedule release show. We'll see you on Friday.
Go Sixers.